Justified is set in a place called Harlan County, Kentucky. It's in the heart of Appalachia. The whole county has about 28,000 people. The county seat, the town, the big town of Harlan has about 1,800, not much more than a wide spot in the road. Median income of Harlan County is $11,000 a year. 30% of the population is below the poverty line. There's no industry in Harlan other than coal and moonshine up in the hills. Young men rarely finish school. They quit and go to work in the coal mines because they need that second paycheck at home. So Harlan's a dead end for a lot of people. In fact, there are a lot of people in Harlan County who've lived there all their lives and never left, never even to visit Lexington or anything. Always stayed in Harlan County. Might go over to the town of Cumberland because there you can buy booze. But hey, they got their moonshine, so what do they need it for? The series has a main character named Raylan Givens. Young man grew up in Harlan. Dad was a petty criminal. Raylan went to work in the coal mines, quit school. But he had an aunt who came into some money, who gave him the money to get out, make something of himself. And he became a deputy U.S. Marshal. Now, he was a little gun happy. So while stationed in Miami, he blew away a bad guy under some kind of questionable circumstances. And in order to quiet things down, the Marshal Service transferred him to Lexington, Kentucky, where he was given the responsibility for guess where? Harlan County. So I say, Harlan County is an interesting place, you know. Back in the day, which is to say the 30s, when United Mine Workers were trying to unionize the coal mines, Harlan County was the site of several pitched battles between the miners and the security forces hired by mine management. It became known as Bloody Harlan, and still is known to a lot of folks as Bloody Harlan. Now, some of you know that I spent almost 30 years in the underground mining business. Well, not the business, but the industry. And I traveled the world. I crawled around in mines from Argentina to Zimbabwe, A to Z. Met a lot of interesting folks. Visited a lot of interesting places. Of course, to me, any place was interesting. I even got a kick out of Flat, Arkansas. But some of the places I went to were scarier than others. Bogota, Colombia, back when the narcoleros were running the country. Bogota was the murder capital of the world. And if you were outside of Bogota and Santander, driving through the countryside, you better find a hotel before the sun goes down, or they'll never find you. I was in Cucuta, Colombia, which is a relatively peaceful place. Woke up in the morning to the sound of gunfire. Well, we got up, nobody was freaking out about it, so we didn't worry about it. Had our breakfast, headed down the hill to the mine we were supposed to visit. When we got there, they said, the meeting's been called off. Two guys you were supposed to meet, the mine manager and the safety director, were ambushed on the way in, and they were killed. Well, that was the gunfire I woke up to. Lima, Peru. The Sendero Luminoso had a habit of blowing up the power lines, going to the city and going to the airport. I had to fly out one night when they did that. At the same time, a rumor spread that Lima was running low on gasoline. So everybody went out to try and buy gasoline. And there were mobs, people smashing into each other's cars, pounding each other out, occasional shooting. Because not only there wasn't a shortage, but with the power outage, the pumps didn't work. So he had to find a gas station that had a generator that where the pumps had worked. When they found one, they were mobbed. We got to the airport, dodging the mobs, flew out under emergency power. I looked out the window and Lima was in flames. I was in the Philippines in one of the worst typhoons ever to hit that country. Killed 800 people in Manila alone. The town I had been in the night before, well, two nights before, was erased from the map. No longer exists. I was in South Africa the day of the Bishu massacre. I was also there the day of the referendum that ended apartheid. Now, everybody in South Africa packs guns, you know, or carries at least a panga, which is like a machete. The Zulu are allowed to carry spears and fighting sticks because it's part of their heritage. So the day of the election, of the referendum, my buddy Bill Duvall had to vote, so we went down to the polling place and the National Party's brown shirts were all around the polling place in their khaki uniforms with black armbands and weapons, trying to intimidate people, keep them from voting. But you know, one of the scarier places I went was right here in the U.S., Harlan County, Kentucky. There's a lot of little punch mines in the hollers outside of Harlan. Right in downtown Harlan, there's a fairly good-sized mine. They've tried to preserve some of the relics of the Cold War days. The mine property, which comprises the office, the infirmary, supply shed, the lamp room, the portal to go underground, it's in a compound ringed by a double row of cyclone fence, electrified with razor wire on top. The one gate into the compound is made from a steel I-beam, the kind that you see holding up bridges. And just inside the gate, on each side of the road, there was a concrete pillbox, each containing a 50 caliber machine gun with a field of fire not only on the road, but through the fence at anybody who might be trying to hit that gate. Bloody Harlan. Now, the folks in Harlan, they don't like strangers much. I got along okay because I was a mining guy. It kept a low profile. But they really don't like strangers much, especially they really don't like Yankees much. And remember, these are the people who vote for Rand Paul and Mitch McConnell. So they really, really don't like Yankees who are flaming liberal socialists. But I got on okay. But I'll tell you what, if I had ever had the nerve to try to hit on one of their women, I'd have never left Harlan alive. Which brings us full circle to the song, "You'll Never Leave Harlan Alive." In the deep dark hills of Eastern Kentucky. That's the place where I traced my bloodline. And it's there that I read on a hillside gravestone, "You'll never leave Harlan alive." Now my grandfather's daddy came down Catherine's Mountain, took Tilly Hilton for his bride. He said, "Walk with me now from the mouth of this holler, or we'll never leave Harlan alive." When the sun comes up about 10 in the morning, sun goes down about 3 in the day. You fill your cup, whatever bitter brew you're drinking, spend your life thinking how to get away. Now nobody suspected there was coal in the mountains till a man from the northeast arrived, waving $100 bills. Said, "I'll pay you for your minerals," but he never left Harlan alive. Grandma sold out cheap. They moved out west to Pineville to a farm where rich land river winds. I'll bet they danced them a jig, laughed and sang a new song. Who said we'd never leave Harlan alive? Got tough, tobacco wasn't selling. Granddad did what he had to survive. Went and dug Harlan coal, sent the money back to Grandma, and he never left Harlan. When the sun comes up at 10 in the morning, the sun goes down about 3 in the day. You fill your cup, whatever bitter brew you're drinking, spend your life digging coal from the bottom of your grave. In the deep dark hills of Eastern Kentucky, the place where I traced my bloodline, There I read on a hillside gravestone, "You'll never leave Harlan alive." It's God, guns, and glory down in eastern Kentucky, and you'll never leave Harlan. Thank you.